Savages, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. First off, it's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple, Google, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Trust me, people, you're going to love it. Thank you. Welcome to the Savage Empire. I'm Mike Trainer. I'm your host, Masters of Ceremony, and your friend. Welcome back. It's been a little bit. And if you're not fucking pumped by now, I don't know what it'll take. Get pumped. You should be rocking out all your Yankee stuff. We've dispatched with the Cleveland Indians. As expected, the inevitable matchup of us versus the scumbag Rays is upon us. Who will win? Who will make the big mistake? Who will land the knockout blow? And who will move on to the next round? Will it be us, or will it be them? They don't like us. We don't like them. Our fan base is millions and millions. Their fan base is 20, 30, 40 people maybe at tops. David versus Goliath. Except maybe, hopefully, Goliath wins this time. Good versus evil. Righteousness versus scumbags. Who will win? We're going to talk about that in a minute, but let's talk about how we got here. Let's start with the series recap. 2-0 sweep of the Cleveland Indians in Jacobs Field. No midges. Game 1. Cole versus Justin Bieber. Bieber, the presumptive Cy Young winner, possibly MVP winner also. Hopefully not. Cole, 7 innings pitched, 6 hits, 2 earned, 13 Ks, dominant, untouchable. DJ leads off the game with a single, and then, all rise, Judgment Day, 2-0 after 1, off of Justin Bieber. I know he hates that, he doesn't listen anyway, but fuck him. Top 3, M. Voit P. doubles in Hicks, makes it 3-0. Top 4, Gardner doubles in Glaber. Makes it 4-1. DJ singles in. Not sure. Makes it 5-1. Top 5. It's Glaber Day. 2-run shot. Makes it 7-2. And like a good Glaber, Torres is there. Top 7. Higgy sack fly. Makes it 8-2. Glaber singles. Makes it a 9-2. And then the controversial move of the day, having Brett Gardner start over to Clint Frazier, the Red Thunder. Gardner plants one, makes it 11-2. Stanton crushes one, top 9, to make it 12-2. And what a lot of Stanton haters out there were calling a garbage time home run. 12-3 final. Dominance. This game was never in doubt. Even when it was close at, I believe, 4-2 at one point. Never in doubt. Cole would not allow it. Yankees jumped on Bieber early and often, swinging at first ball. Fastballs, spitting on his dominant curveball, and just showing him who's the boss. Perfection, top to bottom, no issues. When Cole came out of the game, Sessa came in, gave up a run, but at that time it didn't matter. Just saving the bullets, although that may have bit us in game two, and we'll get to that in a second because you know what I'm talking about. The move everybody was talking about, the lineup came out, and we saw Gardner starting over Clint, excuse me, and a lot of people were upset about it. I didn't know how to feel about it myself. I felt like Clint deserved to be out there. I figured his defense has been fairly good. I believe, as most people believe, that he is the better hitter in this stage of their careers. Gardner is on the decline. But the gut feeling that Boone had, Gardner was on a little bit of a tear. And we all know that the Yankees computer analytic nerds don't seem to believe in hot. That's why it infuriates me when people who are riding a hot streak all of a sudden get a day off out of nowhere and then boom, levels them back to nowhere. To me, that is their greatest single biggest mistake in managing. From top to bottom. Pulling people who are hot to give them a day off. It's ridiculous. But anyway, Gardner got the call, and he did not disappoint. Played his usual defense. Nothing too strenuous out there. Calming presence. I think he was a triple shy of the cycle. How crazy would that have been if he'd have gotten a triple and gotten the cycle? This guy is like a year younger than me. Or not a couple years younger than me. Most likely not coming back next year. I think there's a $12 million option that the Yankees would have on him. There's no way they're going to pay him 12. I mean, if they want him back, I'm sure they can bring him back for cheap, and he'd be the fourth outfielder over Talkman. And I tell you what, Yankee fans at this point wouldn't be mad at that because Talkman hit like shit this year. And I think we'd rather have Gardner backing up Clint out there. Hopefully Clint's the starter next year. I think he deserves it. He's definitely played like he deserved it. But it was definitely the right move. We'll see how it plays out for the rest of the playoffs. I doubt Gardner will start against Snell. So my guess it'll be Clint in game one. But there's still a game two. And this one was a wild one. Okay. It seemed like a 12 to 15 hour game. I think it spanned over 3 weeks of my life and yours. A game that started late because of the rain and didn't finish till about 1 in the morning Eastern time. Oh, you California people must have loved that. Turn the game off and go to bed and get a full night's sleep for work the next day. Nope, not the East Coast. We got fucked. Some of us who aren't like 20 and have nothing to do have to get up in the morning. And it was a little rough, I'll tell you. Worth it. When you stay up for games like this and your team comes through, worth it. So let's see how we got there. Tanaka started. I'm going to go through the pitching stats first, and then we'll go through the score, and then we'll talk about it. 4 innings pitched, 5 hits, 6 earned, 3 Ks. Definitely not playoff Tanaka, but there was reasons behind it. Chad Green, 1-1. 3 hits, 0 earned, 3 Ks. He did give up the hit that brought in the 2 runs for Tanaka to give him his 6 earned. Britton, 1-1, 0 hits, 2 earned, 2 walks, 1 K, was wild. And the problem with Britton, if he doesn't have enough work, his pitches aren't as sharp, and it's usually chase pitches anyway. The man does not pound the strike zone. That could be problematic. He needs work. He needs constant work. This is a wild card issue coming into the next series, and we'll talk about that too later on. So, that one dude, what's his name? Jabroni. With his stupid sideshow Bob haircut. The guy who's been victimizing the Yankees for 2 games. Is due to come up. He's right-handed. Or he's left-handed, rather. So they decide, well, we're not going to let him face Britton. We're going to bring in this other jabroni. I don't remember his name. It doesn't really matter. And this is an issue here, too. Because Boone decided to pull Britton. Who Britton, to be fair, forced his hand to do so. And instead of going to Ottavino, he went to Johnny Lasagna. In a high leverage situation that he has not pitched in all year. Now, I believe, and I've said this before, that Lasagna can be a dominant late inning guy, but you got to ease him into it. It has to be during the season. Get his feet wet. The man spent a lot of the year starting or handcuffing middle innings, and he was hurt with an injury that we still don't know what happened. And he comes in, and one out of an inning, 1 hit, 1 earned, 2 walks, 0 Ks. He's a strikeout guy. 0 Ks is not good. Immediately gives up a 2-run game-tying double to the dude they just pulled off the bench in a desperation move. He doesn't have it. Didn't have it. Didn't go with his best stuff. He went with an off-speed pitch. So, they had to pull him. Chapman, 2 innings. 1 hit, 4 Ks. The 1 hit was a bloop single over short that actually ended up giving the Indians the lead. His earned run was Lasagna's. Now, Chapman looked good. And he's getting his fastball back up there. He hit 100 a couple times. Not throwing that hanging slider to right-handed batters. He is also working on a split finger. Now, that could be a good pitch. I feel like that's something he should have worked on earlier in the year, especially in late-inning games. If Sanchez is going to be back there, split finger can definitely go right into the dirt. And we all know how Gary is about that. So that's something to keep an eye on. But he believes in it. And I believe he's going to throw it more to right-handers to come. Now, that's also a wild card issue. And we'll get into that too for the next series. But let's go to scoring. So the rain delayed to start the game where it didn't rain. And I don't know if all of you people know this. You probably do by now. But it was not the Indians' call. It was not the Indians' ground crew that made the call. In the postseason, it becomes Major League Baseball's call. And boy, did they fuck up. They fucked this up. And they were getting brutalized on Twitter and everywhere else by fans, the press. Everybody, anybody who has a voice out there was shitting on Manfred and his staff. What a joke. So let's start the game 45 minutes later when you can clearly look at the app on the phones or the radar, and Susan Waldman on the pregame was screaming about this. She said the rain is coming in like 10 minutes. She hasn't been wrong all year. If she could see it on her radar, what the hell is Major League Baseball looking at? Okay, so true to form, Yankees go down 1-2-3, a little bit of a drizzle. Tanaka's out there, and then it's a monsoon. It's a goddamn monsoon. The lake effect weather. The rain was sideways, for Christ's sakes. His uniform is form-fitting now because it's soaked and stuck to his legs and his arms and everything. Makes it kind of hard to throw your splitter. Anyway, gives up an RBI double before the umpires are like, oh, you know what? I'm getting too wet out here. Never mind the players. It was probably because of them. They decide, all right, let's put the tarp on the field. So you get a pitcher on the Indians who goes a full first inning and a pitcher on the Yankees who goes basically a third of an inning and gives up a run. And then you're like, all right, let's throw the tarp on the field. You know, when you know, you understand that possibly if this was regular season, Carrasco and Tanaka don't go back out there after a 35, 40 minute wait. They fucked this up. Okay, now because it's the playoffs, both those guys came out. Carrasco pitched pretty good. Tanaka, not so good. And clearly was affected by this. Plus, I have to wonder, too, because of his last start, and put this in the wild card conversation, too. He was not very good in his last start, and he attributed it to the fact that he's thinking about his free agency status. He desperately wants to be here. I almost feel like the Yankees should go up to him and be like, hey, listen, you're going to be here. Or at least tell them we want you here. Just so his mind can be at peace. Because he didn't pitch good. He was talking about how it was his possibly last start at Yankee Stadium. And maybe he was thinking, this could be my possible last start as a Yankee, period. And the rain didn't help, and I'm sure there's excuses. Maybe he just didn't have it. But he gutted it out for four innings. Basically, he gave up his four runs, and the inherited runs came in, so it ended up being six. But, you know, he held it down. He battled through. The line won't show that he gutted it out. So that's something to keep an eye on, too, because I just want him to say, you know what, fuck it, I'm Tanaka, and if I'm going to leave here, then I'm leaving with a ring, and let's get him there. All right, so after they're down 4-0 in a blink of an eye, Stanton comes up in the second, hits a shot, makes it 4-1. Is that still a garbage time homer? I don't know. I mean, that's something you build off of, but the Stanton haters are probably like, oh, of course he does that. Nobody on base. He should be doing that every at bat. You know, the same A-Rod shit that we used to hear for years. It's getting old. Listen, man, he ain't going anywhere for 7 years. It's like, support him now or shut the fuck up already. You guys just wait for him. The fuck up. When you got to remember that, I know batting averages don't matter, but a 300 batting average is considered good. That's 3 hits out of 10. So 70% is failure. And that's good. He consistently can hit around 280 when healthy. That's pretty goddamn good. But the problem is he's hurt. He gets hurt all the time. And then when he comes back, you expect him to just flip a switch and play catch up. Like he should hit 60 home runs in one at swing to catch up to the numbers that he should have had. I get it. It's frustrating. But this is the reality of things. He ain't going anywhere. And he plays a big part. Those two home runs came back to back. After game one, he looked lost in his first 3-4 bats. Just lost. Swinging at shit. I don't think he could recognize the pitch. He was in his head. It was obvious. And he was going against Bieber, and I know the rest of the team seemed to be hitting him, but you know what? He's still a good pitcher, and he had a decent line despite his ERA in that game. He did have the strikeouts. Now, obviously, he didn't hit the home run against Bieber, but you know what? It's a confidence booster. And what happened? He immediately turned around the next day and hit a big home run right off the bat that gave them some life. So let's get off his back a little bit, all right? He may play an important part in this series coming up. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Top four, Wild Thing, Karinchak, who models himself a new Ricky Vaughn with the stupid hair, wears 99. The only thing missing was the glasses. Supposedly their best bullpen pitcher comes in, does not pitch good at all. So the bases are loaded. And Gio comes up. And I swear he told Gio, if you can hit it, you can name it. I call this pitch the Terminator. Throws a low inside fastball that Gio golfs. Golfs. With a bomb. To left center field. Deep. And does a nice little bat flip. And tells Wild Thing Ricky Vaughn, I call that pitch the Masturbator. It's a wink and a nod to those who know. Grand slam for Gio Urshela, the most happy fella. Oh, he's the most happy fella. Don't sue me, John Stone. Gio Urshela, Gio the God. Are you a god? Yes. Gio Urshela makes it 5-4. Top five, Stanton. Sac fly makes it 6-4. And then the mishaps with the bullpen. Aaron Boone being outmanaged. Top six, tied at 6. Release the Kraken! Oppo, two-run shot, makes it 8-6. Now, tied again. Actually, down by one. Runners on second and first, I believe. Gio makes that double play where he makes a dive, catches the ball that was already a foot behind him, and on his ass, spins his legs around to make an accurate throw to second that starts a double play that, honestly, it saved the game. That run comes in. I don't know if we come back down two. I don't know. I don't want to say that it's not possible, obviously, but it makes it a little harder. Mentality has changed at that point. When you're down by one, you just got to tie it first and worry about it later. When you're down by two, it's a hill. So he's doing it offensively and defensively. Now, top nine. Guardy sack fly ties it. And then the machine, who had been Ofer, but like def taxes, and DJ with runners in scoring position. Single right up the middle, shades of Luis Soho in the 2000 World Series. Up the middle. Singles in the game-winning run. Chapman comes in to hold it. Should have been three outs, but it ended up being four because he threw that pitch that got by Gary and Mercado got on base, but he got the next dude to strike out. Series over. Ball game over. Yankees win. The Yankees win. And now we're on to Tampa. The Tampa Ray cocky ass Devil Rays. Fuck the Rays. They're the Devil Rays. Fuck them. With their stupid-ass stadium and their stupid-ass fucking state. Sorry to my Florida fans. You guys are great. I'm just mad. Bear with me. Forgive me. But fuck Tampa. Cocky ass motherfuckers. Managers talking shit. Angry. Forcing this to be a rivalry that they started 3 years ago. Doing whatever they can to make themselves important. Like a no-name jobber challenging the heavyweight champion in wrestling. Who is this little jabroni? This is Billy Gunn versus The Rock all over again. Who in the blue hell are you? And surely with one swat, just like The Rock did to Billy Gunn, if you remember, will dispatch with this rivalry in no time. I tend to look at things this way in baseball. It's not a rivalry until the Yankees are beaten in a playoff series or a World Series. Yankees Marlins has more of a rivalry feel because we owe them one. How great would it be if we saw them in the World Series again? That would be fun. I would love that. And, you know, they played good against us this year, so, you know, I mean, it would make for interesting baseball. But, you know, we're ahead of ourselves. We have to get through Tampa. Here is the weaknesses and strengths. Okay? This is how I believe this is going to play out. I believe that Tampa will come into this game cocky as fuck. After all, they did beat us 8 out of 10 times this year. Now, it was never a consistent lineup with the Yankees due to injuries. Guys were in, guys were out. Pitching, at the most part, was up to full strength, but they did face Paxton a couple times, and he is not here now. Although he may be available for the World Series, apparently. That's kind of interesting, but neither here nor there. We're not there yet. Task at hand. Stay focused, people. Stay focused. Kevin Cash versus Aaron Boone. Cash is cocky. Believes that he has a stable of guys who can all throw 98 miles an hour. Okay. Keep that cockiness. I like it. It served you well, but it can also be your undoing. We have guys that can hit 98 mile an hour fastballs. Guys who weren't really focused, healthy, or I hate to say it, just didn't really care at the time because they knew they were getting into the playoffs. Now, I mean, obviously that pisses me off. It pisses you off. It should have pissed you off back then. Should have pissed them off while they were getting beat up. I believe if these Tampa Rays think they can just throw fastball after fastball at our guys, it's going to come back to haunt them. So, I believe that is their weakness. I honestly believe also that they may be a scrappy little team, but they're a team made up of people who, I don't know, maybe aren't ready for the moment, or maybe they are. But a lot of the Yankees have been there before. And although the Rays are looking at the Yankees as basically their World Series victory, the Yankees are looking at Tampa as a stepping stone. Now, it's a stone that they want to stomp on the way up. Aaron Boone cannot allow Kevin Cash to dictate the series. He cannot do what he did in Game 2 of Cleveland, making moves to try to be too clever. And that has been his MO in basically every postseason year that he's been. He tries to get too cute sometimes, and he tries to outthink. He's trying to play chess out there. And sometimes it backfires. You go at your best. You dictate the play game. All right? These guys are so focused on trying to destroy us that you can turn around and use that against them. And if we get them frustrated, it's over. It's done. All right? You keep cool and calm, and it's done. That's how we beat them. We play our game. We don't play their game. So Boone cannot allow himself to be outmanaged. That is number one on the list. Our bullpen is the second wild card on this list. Our guys need work. I don't care if it's a close game. I don't care if we're down. I don't care if we're winning big. Britton comes in to pitch game one. You might need Ottavino to pitch. And Chad Green has to pitch. And maybe Chapman. But Chapman looked good in his last start. But these guys need the work. And they need the work. They need back-to-back games. And I know we don't like to pitch our guys in back-to-back games, but it's the playoffs. You throw all that shit out the window. They need the work. They need their stuff to be sharper. That is a wild card for us. We don't know how that's going to turn out. We pray that these guys come in, they do what they do, and we get out of there. Tampa's hoping that they come in and we can hit these guys. Third wild card, starting pitcher. Gerrit Cole will be Gerrit Cole. We know that. I think we all feel confident about it. It's going to be at least 7 innings pitched. He's locked in. Will Tanaka bounce back? We need him. And normally he pitches pretty damn good against Tampa. We need him. There's no doubt about it. I can get 5-6 innings out of him, I feel pretty good about it. Now, this is a race to 5. We only need 3 wins. That benefits us. Game 3. Davey or Happ? I believe Boone will go with Happ for the veteran leadership. That means Davey could be a weapon. But he's also our Game 4 starter. And then Game 5, they would obviously go back to Cole. We're going with a 4-man rotation. If we're going with a 4-man rotation, we don't need Montgomery. If Monty's not going to be a starter, he's not going to be a bullpen guy because he's not a bullpen guy. So put that extra arm in the pen. Now, if you want it to be a Clark Schmidt or a Michael King or any of the other younger guys that throw hard, I'm fine with it. But you can't put them in high-pressure situations. Lasagna cannot be a high-pressure situation guy. He could be a middle-inning, sixth-inning guy. If he's the first guy out of the pen, I think he'll be better. If he feels like, well, there's innings still to come and I can keep it here, or if I give up a run, it's not the end of the world, we can come back. So, that's wild cards here. We need our starting pitching to be good, like it was for that stretch. I think Happ will do good. I think he's a veteran. The moment will not be too big for him. I think Davey has ice in his veins. I don't think the moment will be too big for him. But we have to go against their three horses there of Snell, Glasgow, and what's his name? Other idiot. I'm drawing a blank on his name all of a sudden, but you know who I'm talking about. And they all have pretty good stuff too. Now, we have hit these guys before, so we can do it again. Don't let this team set the tone, set the pace. We get at them fast. Dictate everything through us. That's how we win. If we have to play small ball, we do it. Everything is on the table here. I don't know what the rosters are yet. They haven't been announced yet. We'll see. But here's an interesting fact. Another fuck up by Major League Baseball. They decided to book Tampa and the Yankees in the same resort where they run into each other. And they obviously don't like each other, but they're running into each other. Gardner says he ran into a few of them, just nodded, hey, moved on. Kiermaier is talking about how we don't like these guys, they don't like us. The feeling is mutual. They really don't like these guys. Yankees aren't out there talking shit. They're not out there giving us bulletin board material. Tampa has been taunting us since they made it into the postseason, since they clinched the division, since they took care of their first round series. They want this. So let's give it to them. We got today, we got tomorrow to get ready, to get pumped. Don't be nervous. It's going to be fun. We're going to win. All right? 28 is coming. Breathe in, breathe out. All right? Don't be stressed, guys. Don't be stressed. We're in this together. We'll get through this. We're going to enjoy it. All right? We're going to be more happy than upset in this whole series. We may lose the game. But we're not going to lose the series. All right? We're going to go out there. We're going to shove. We're going to show them who's the fucking boss. You can celebrate your division title like it was the World Series because this is where it ends. We're not here to beat you. We're here to win the fucking belt. And you're just in the way. So get ready. Get pumped. Because it's time! Oh, yeah. Ooh, goosebumps. You got it. I know you do. I got it, too. I'm pumped. I'm ready. It's a different feeling. And if I can be so arrogant for a moment, if you allow me to, as if I haven't been most times already, we can look ahead, possibly. Just, I know we'll stay focused, but just the you know, think about this for a second. The dream run here, okay? We get through Tampa, and then we see those scumbag Houston Astros. In the next round, possibly. Okay, cross your fingers. Getting through Oakland is not going to be easy for them because they're not very good. And, you know, they did beat Minnesota, but Minnesota has lost 18 straight playoff games. That's fucking embarrassing. It's fucking embarrassing. I mean, shit. They're just cursed enough to beat them fucking selves. Carlos Correa is out there talking shit. Talking shit. Like, really? You are the most unlikable douche in this fucking game. And people hated A-Rod. He's nothing compared to this douche, Correa. I'm ashamed to admit I had him on my fantasy team a couple years ago. I liked him. And then we found out who he was. It's a guy who breaks his rib getting a massage. I mean, so, beat the Rays, possibly get the beat up on Houston. Man, I don't know about you. I get a little excited thinking about that. And then we move on to the World Series, where hopefully the Dodgers are there. And we beat the Dodgers. If we go through this run the way a lot of people think it's going to go, we get through Tampa, we get through Houston, and we get through the Dodgers and win the 28. And people try to put an asterisk on that, they should be fucking shot, discredited, banned, laughed on, and just ridiculed for the rest of their lives, because this would be the toughest run, especially with the COVID, especially in the hub cities, especially with the 60-game season bullshit and the drama and everything, and the missed games and the COVID scare and everything else. And they want to put an asterisk on this? How dare you? It counts. But we're not there yet. One step at a time. We'll get back. Pull it back. Come back here. Bring it back to me. We'll stay focused on Tampa, which starts Monday night, 8 p.m. because, you know, we need that mid-evening sunset in San Diego to affect the pitching. I don't know how that'll work there. I'm not a Padres fan like a lot of you guys are, apparently. And I hope you're not listening to my podcast if you're a fraud Yankee fan, Padre fan all of a sudden. Am I getting into that? Nope. Stay focused. Stay focused. You guys stay focused too. Forget about those fake fans. They can switch off their stupid hat with the Yankee hat every now and then. And, you know, let's say it's a Padres-Yankees World Series and they're good no matter who wins. And to me, that's disgusting in the highest form. A fraud fan. But bring it back. Bring it back. All right, I'm going to do this one more time. Just to get you back in the mood here. Get you back excited. I want the goosebumps again. Because
it's time!
Fighting out of the blue corner, the Tampa Bay Devil Rays? Fighting out of the red corner, the Evil Empire, the New York Yankees, the 27-time world champs, the greatest franchise in all of sports. Hopefully, soon, to be the 28-time champion, New York Yankees. Goosebumps. Get ready. It's coming. And I'm going to end it there. Because how can I end it any better? Maybe I can do it like this one more time.
It's time!
Goosebumps overkill. Enjoy the rest of your day. Try not to get too angry at a Giants lost. Jets lost already. Stay focused. Get through today with the football. Come back to us on Monday, ready to go. The real series starts now. We'll be ready. And I will be back after the series. And we'll celebrate together. And until then, go Yankees.